Good morning, good morning. So today is November the 28th, and it officially begins what is known as the season of Advent. And so this is a season that is ripened with anticipation, and it's a time leading up to Christmas. Well, we remember the longing of the Jewish people who they wanted a Messiah. And as well as our own longing during this time, our own longing, a need for forgiveness, salvation, and a new beginning. In our anticipation of the coming of Jesus, it's twofold. We've got the coming of the Jesus who is born in a humble setting in Bethlehem. And then we have the coming of Christ as the fulfillment of all that was promised by his first visit. Well, one of the ways we reflect in Advent in a communal worship is by utilizing an Advent wreath. It's a simple wreath. It's surrounded by four candles, exterior candles representing the four Sundays that are leading up to Christmas. And then there's the central candle, which symbolizes Jesus and a reminder of Christ's ongoing presence. Well, each Sunday during Advent, a candle will be on the wreath that it will be lit, and it's a reading that will be shared with us as well. And this morning we have invited Jason Blackwell and Chris Smith to join us in the lighting of the first Advent candle.
In this life, there are moments when we feel tired and scared, alone, like we're on a boat drifting in the middle of the sea. We don't know if we have the strength to face what is before us, hunting us, hurting us. We huddle around a table in the hold of this boat, singing, "What comes to mind?"
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I've had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's gone right to my head. Wherever I may go, on land or sea or foam, you can always hear me singing, "Show me the way to go home."
Home. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of a branch that will be raised. Jesus spoke of a Son of Man that will descend. Both point to a hope that calls us home, our true home, where we're welcomed and loved and included, where there is justice and equality and peace.
We light this candle as a sign of hope, our strong hope that there is a way to go home, to the home in Christ, and it starts with us, and it starts here, and it starts now. Amen.
Good morning, Harmony. Happy Advent season to you. Every fourth Sunday, we do acoustic worship here, and it's more introspective and reflective. But however you feel comfortable worshiping for the next few minutes and the next few songs, please do so. If you want to raise your hands, if you want to stand, if you want to kneel, whatever God leads you to do. But feel free to lift your worship.
burdens down. My yoke is easy now. What a friend I found in you. I lay my burdens down. My yoke is easy now. What a friend I found in you. Cause you're the well that won't run dry. Only you can satisfy. I will thirst no more, cause you refresh my soul. Living waters flow from you. Cause you're the
words. And I love singing this song and worshiping to this song because I think at any given time we are asking God to bring the best out of us and to renew us and to show us how powerful we are, and asking him to constantly remind us that we are loved and that we are on the right path. And the visual of just creating new wine out of ourselves to me is such a beautiful, beautiful piece of imagery. So just reflect on these words right now, and wherever you are in your faith journey, I hope that you ask God to bring new wine out of you.
shame and the pressing, you are making new wine in the soil I now surrender. You are breaking new ground, so I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Creator, sometimes embracing the new is a scary place to be. We get filled with doubt. We're filled with worry. We're filled with lack of understanding, confusion, God. But as the song says, when we trust you, we don't need to understand. So as you're working in all of our lives, God, and bringing new wine out of all of us, just give us peace of mind. Give us comfort. And let the one thing be that we understand is that you have us, God. And that trusting you is simply enough. We aren't meant to know what tomorrow brings, or the next week, or month, or years. But you have a plan for each and every one of us. And that's what it makes you so miraculous, God. So as we come towards the end of the year and start a new year, many of us are starting new chapters. Just erase that fear, God. And allow that trust in you, to just consume every part of our bodies so that we don't have any questions. Just make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you've given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Amen.
What a marvelous way to start our acoustic Sunday. Amen. And a great way to start our Advent season, lighting the first Advent candle of hope and receiving the gift of wonderful music from Melinda and the worship band. Amen. I'm Pastor Mark, and with a proudly progressive faith community here at Harmony, and we're pleased to connect with you in person as well as virtually online, and we want to make mention today, and Alan, I don't know where you're at. Aha, here he comes. That there are just a few compassion bears remaining to be decorated and dressed up. And thank you, Alan. Look at that. You and Jewel, they dressed these up. Look at this. Yeah. We got Bat Bear. Yes. And Pajama Bear. Oh, these are cute with the little bumblebees. I like it. And so these compassion bears that are being decorated and dressed up, we will be delivering them to the Pediatric AIDS Clinic here later in the month for those beloved children during the holiday season. So what a blessing. As part, also part of Harmony's service project we're doing is we're collecting food for the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry, as you can see over here, and we're getting good, great food collection. And so those are meeting the needs of those living with food insecurity. So we're asking you to participate as you're able, to bring in canned goods such as soup, vegetables, maybe even fruit, especially canned chicken and tuna. I was reading about that, and they said that they really need protein, as well as boxed cereal. It's a good thing, and we hope you'll participate. And a reminder that the compassion bears that are dressed up, and we have, I think it might be like four maybe left, that all of these are due, and the food donations are due back next Sunday here at Harmony, so next Sunday, December the 5th. There's lots happening here within the faith community, including a virtual, I can't wait for this, it's a virtual holiday concert that's going to be hosted by Melinda, and, you know, isn't she immensely talented, right? Yeah, yeah. And so that's going to be happening, and Melinda, now remind me, that's on Tuesday, December 14th, yes? 7 p.m. And also, and you can see it on Facebook. Now, that is virtual. That is going to be online, but hosted here at Harmony. However, we are going to have an in-person special service on December the 16th, which is Blue Christmas. And that's a very meaningful, moving worship experience. And I hope that you can be here. That's in person on that Thursday. So to learn more and stay up to date, I urge you to read Harmony's weekly e-newsletter. It's got a lot of stuff in there, or check out our social media posts as well as the church's website. So with this, let's extend our appreciation for today's worship participants. And so we already had the blessing of Jason and Chris. They lit the Advent candles. We've been blessed with Melinda and the worship band. But also we have the blessing of Juan Carrillo, and we have Theris Osuji, Harmony's greeting and production team members, and to the Rev. Jefferson Beaker, who is now going to lead us in a time of reflection and meditation.
The Spirit needs to roam where it is guided. And we can join in this courageous adventure by allowing it to accomplish what it is here to do. 16th century mystic Teresa of Avila has written throughout all of her writings that we need to let go of our very limited ideas of who Spirit God is and what Spirit God can do through each of our lives. Spirit wants to roam, and it wants to roam through you and as you into the world to do amazing things. And we can allow that to happen by engaging with Spirit, which is always right where we are at every moment within us. And so I would like to invite you to connect with that Spirit that is within you as we move into a time of meditative reflection. So if you would get comfortable where you are seated, close your eyes if you're comfortable doing so, or just allow your gaze to soft focus downward. And begin to breathe very naturally, the natural rhythm of your breath. You're breathing in and you're breathing out. As we use our breath as our anchor to center our awareness of Spirit, whenever our mind begins to wander, and it will, we're human, we can bring our awareness back to the breath. We are always successful in meditation whenever we bring our awareness back to the center of our breath. And just breathe in and breathe out. Feel the presence of Spirit right where you are, within you. Feel it in your breath. For Spirit is indeed your breath. Spirit, which is universal, is individualized in each and every one of us for a beautiful individual expression of what Spirit desires to display in the world. And that is beautiful. So sit with that awareness. Celebrate within you that awareness of Spirit right where you are. How does it feel to feel the presence of Spirit God within you? Be open to Spirit's guidance and know that as you do so, that you are in a safe place. Know that you are always loved unconditionally. For Spirit God never asks for our credentials. For we are all the created of the Creator. spirit within you wants to roam, and it wants to discover, and it wants to find new ways of expression in the world, new ways that only you can do. Our human selves, our egos, can so easily try to define what Spirit is here to do for you and to limit that expression. So allow the presence of Spirit to guide you forward in discovery into what is for you unchartered territory. And know that as you go forward, that you are always divinely protected. For there can be nothing else. So what is Spirit telling you at this moment? Don't try to force anything, just how is Spirit God speaking to you and through you in this one precious moment? And as you are in this beautiful, loving moment, what is it that you would like to say to God? Know with me that you are blessed. Know with me that you are never alone. And know with me that at any moment you need only look within to find the grace and the blessing of a God who loves you unconditionally. As you are ready, I invite you to open your eyes. Bring your awareness back into this beautiful room, knowing that you have been on a spiritual journey with others. For the collective energy and vibration of this room has led each and every one of us forward in a very beautiful and meaningful way. So open your eyes when you're ready. Bring your awareness back into this room as we continue our time of worship together. Namaste and amen.
Joy box. You can always give by mail. putting an envelope back there and do it the old-fashioned way. But just take a moment today, no matter what you're doing, you just find something. It just is going to make you smile. It could be a little bit of joy. You know, and just wait, and you'll see it'll make the day so much better. Thank you.
So today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And I promise you, this is good news. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On earth, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. They will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now, when these things begin to happen, stand up straight, raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly, like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert and at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen before the human one. Word of God, words of life, thanks be to God. Amen.
Staring loud into the night, trying to hide the pain. I'm going to the place where love and feeling good don't ever cost a thing, and the pain you feel's a different kind of. I'm going home to the place where I belong, where your love has always been enough for me. I'm not running from, no, I think you got me all wrong. I don't regret this life you chose for me. And these faces are getting old, so I'm going home. I'm going home. The miles are getting longer. Closer I get to you, I've not always been the best one, a friend for you, but your love, it makes it true, and I don't know why. You always seem to give me another try. Where I belong, where your love has always been. chose for me. But these places and these faces are getting old.
So thank you to Melinda and the worship band for this acoustic Sunday, something we get to do a little bit different, right? So this morning, Harmony, we started out our worship service. We had marvelous acoustic music. It helped us flow, right? We have the first Advent candle. It's symbolizing hope and all that followed, this great music. We had Reverend Jefferson's meditative moment that just put us in a great place. A marvelous mood is a nice beginning, right? Right, and our hearts are being lifted, and we're getting that holiday groove. And then there's Theris. We received the reading of the scripture from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And you may have thought when she was reading, you were like, oh, well, that suddenly got dark. Or maybe you wondered, Pastor Mark, aren't we in the season of Christmas here? And when we're supposed to be, you know, focusing on the birth of Jesus, rather than on the apocalypse? Shouldn't it be more like this? Yeah, right? Santa and the reindeer going on the sleigh where we all feel good. Or how about this? Yeah, happy birthday, Jesus. Yes, we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus that comes with scrumptious food and it's filling our tummies and that then leaves us into fading into that old mid-afternoon food coma, right? How about that instead of this? Yeah, right? Where figures are running around and, you know, you got the turbulent sky there, right? And it's city street, it appears to be broken up because of an earthquake. In other words, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Oh, I get you. I get you, friends. These thoughts are all understandable. So why indeed have we included the scripture passage? Well, the season of Advent is a season of change. And we know it's a season of anticipation and expectation. But here's the big Advent reveal. It's not just about expecting baby Jesus to be born in a manger. Advent involves preparing for two comings. Okay, one is God coming to earth in the infant baby Jesus, whom we await at Christmas. And the second is Christ coming back to earth at a time we don't know. Now, it's interesting because Melinda had referenced earlier, I believe it was Melinda, where she had said about the new year, right? And so we have the new year. And in a calendar standpoint, that begins January 1st. But liturgically, the church year begins today. Did you know that? Yeah, it begins today, the season of Advent. We begin anew. Thus, we're setting the tone for the season. And that's just not about our faith community. Let's put it in a different perspective also to say we're starting afresh in our hearts. We're starting afresh in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships, as well as in the yearning for a promise well worth living for. For we know Christ has already come and saved us. Yes? Yeah? All right? Yet we also know that Christ's saving work in us isn't complete yet. Faith community, we've stated this before. Jesus is present among us. Yet with that knowledge, are we truly aware? And it sort of goes back to what Jefferson had talked about in the meditative moment. Are we aware of God's grace in our lives? Stay alert. Stay alert. Even in the midst of what feels like a growing, overwhelming, impending darkness, to complete his kingdom of light and love, his saving work, Christ wants to and is working through us, through you and me.
Someone is on your side. Someone else is not. While we're seeing our side, maybe we forgot. They are not alone.
Indeed. As we heard in the earlier reading by Jason and Chris, and during the Advent candle lighting, they referenced something about Jeremiah, that Jeremiah speaks of a branch that will be raised. And this refers to the verses from Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16, which state, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." And then we have the Luke passage that there is shared, and there's Jesus speaking of the Son of Man who will descend here. We have two scripture passages, friends, two that point to a hope. They point to a hope. A hope that calls us home, our true home, to the home in Christ. And it starts with us. It starts here and it starts now. A few weeks ago, I was reflecting on, you know, what is going to be this Advent's sermon series? And I'm thinking of this. I had a myriad of ideas, but this one word kept coming up over and over and over: home, home. So you know what? I ran with it. And then I considered home. All right, well, what is home? What is home? And I expanded that and I said, well, what does it mean to be a, you know, true home in Christ? well, there's a starter. And then I followed that and I was doing some more pondering. I thought, well, you know, the very thought of home can actually be difficult for some individuals. It's not easy because there's a fear of going home. And if that's the case, then how can we take that path and smooth it out? That path that challenges us, where we can find peace. And then on the other side, there's the joy of home, right? The joy of home. And so for some, it is, but it's more than just home being a resting spot. And we're going, in this instance, we build joy as we build a home in this world and the next. And the last but not least part that I was thinking about is sometimes home can be an unexpected journey, an it's unassuming journey in which we seek and we await a blessing. So, each of the things that I just brought up, we're going to discuss and talk about and focus on during the Advent season and this expectant season of hope, peace, joy, and love. So home. When I mention home, what comes to mind? Is it maybe your personal digs, sort of like your house or apartment, duplex, townhouse, condo? You know, if you're going to college, maybe it's your dorm room. Home could be a vehicle. It is for some. For Jolynn Bracey, it was, and for 5 years, she slept in her Toyota Corolla, 5 years. But praise God for recently, Jolynn was put homelessness in the rearview mirror. She put it in the rearview mirror because she moved into the one of the 64 square foot transitional homes. And now that's about a mile and a half away. And the one that she moved into is at the Chandler Boulevard Bridge Home Village in North Hollywood. Now, can you imagine her emotions? They're mixed because on the one hand, it's excitement. On the other hand, it's relief, right? And here's what she stated. Jolynn stated this, and she said, "This has given me a place to reconfigure myself and build up to my new home." Possibly when I refer to home, you think of a place. Maybe you think of a place when that comes up. And when I say a place, it may not necessarily be where you live. But then on the other hand, too, you may think, okay, well, maybe a home is a location, right? And I'm going to give you a couple of for instances here. So one meaning of going home for me is when I'm headed to my parents' place. My parents' place, this is over in Northeast Texas, and this is where I was born and I spent the majority of my childhood. This is where I was raised, right? And so that going home, right? And it holds many memories for me, wonderful memories. When I think of a location, so I think of a location as home, it's when I travel to London. Now, why is because I've lived there a few times. I've been there in London, and it's like home for me. But also, like this past Thanksgiving, you know, just a few days ago, the location for me was being at the ocean, being at the beach. Because any time that I'm near the ocean and I'm able to just relax and I'm there, I can take in the warmth of the sun. I can feel that cool breeze just washing over me, and I can look out into the ocean and see those waves just rolling in. I feel like I'm home. Now, what comes to mind when you think of home in these ways? When you reflect of that, does what makes it home for you? Is it nostalgia, tradition, sentiment? Maybe it's tradition. Or is it due to, hey, I feel cozy and comfortable here? Maybe it's helping you relax or something else. Now, I go here in this direction because the view of our personal home in the construct of what I'm speaking of is temporary. It is temporary. No matter how long you've lived there, no matter how long you stay there, it is temporary, finite, time-wise, in our earthly lives. I appreciate And I love Marcus Borg. He's the late theologian. And he wrote in his thought-provoking book, The Heart of Christianity, and this is what he said. He said, home is about more than familiarity and comfort. We sometimes sentimentalize home. Home is that. But home is also about growing up. It's about maturation. It's about learning and living a way of life that takes one into the larger world. And he goes on to say, Christianity is a way of life. That is its heart. I'm going to key in on that heart part shortly. To be Christian means living the path within its tradition. At the heart of Christianity is the way of the heart, a path that transforms us at the deepest level of our being. At the heart of Christianity, friends, is the heart of God. That's where the heart of God is. At a passion for our transformation and the transformation of the world. At the heart of Christianity is participating in the passion of God. Amen? Harmony, when it comes to our true home in Christ, this is the home that is eternal. That is not temporary. This is one that is built on the rock. It is here where the foundation is solid underneath our spiritual feet versus the physical homes in our lives that at times they quietly crumble from the inside out because of neglect, or they fall apart because of the crises that arise in our lives, the storms of life that are beating upon us, the earthquakes that unnerve us and they shake us. In Christ is our true home. Amen? In Christ is our true home. And I look at this verses from Matthew 7, 24 through 27, and where Jesus tells us, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Well, it fell and was completely destroyed. Furthermore, when it comes to this perspective of home, our true home, and I want you to get this, our true home is Christ building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Christ building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. And that comes from Ephesians 2:22. How thrilling is that to be thought of in this way, that Jesus is building us into a place that where God lives through the Spirit, wanting to make our hearts, His home, which actually means His dwelling place, is being built in us. And God wants a true home built up in the hearts of all people, everyone, everyone, so that the Holy One's word will never pass away. Now, when you think of home this way, how does that make you feel? How open are you to Christ building within you? Because Jesus, I gotta tell you, Jesus doesn't want to be a temporary guest. Jesus doesn't want to be a random guest who you basically say, well, you can go into that room, or maybe you can go into that room. Here's the guest room, right? They only have access into certain parts. But no, Jesus, the builder, wants and needs access to your whole heart. And taking this a step further, our true home isn't just for us. Our true home isn't just for us. Jesus is building it in such a way that it's also home for others. Sometimes literally and physically, more so spiritually and emotionally. For we're told in Romans 12:13 that states, contribute to the needs of all of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. With this perspective of a true home in Christ, I decided, you know what? I want to engage my the participants. I teach this Bible study, and the recent Bible study, I asked them, I said, what do you think? What do you think about this true home in Christ? What do you think that means for you? And so they gave me some responses that I want to share with you, and I loved what they shared. And this is just a few of the things. They said, it's a safe place. It's a safe place for open expression. There's no judgment here. It's a place where honesty resides. I love this one. It's a place where honesty resides, not just to ourselves, not just to each other, but also to God. A true home in Christ is where we bond with God and those around us. It's a place for collective care and comfort and healing, where we belong, having a heart connection. I love that one, having a heart connection. There's diversity and inclusive and affirmation. We experience life together. We share with one another. We encourage and support each other. We willingly work through issues. We will note that what they said. I love that one. We willingly work through issues openly and respectfully. Wow, that's a breath of fresh air, right? True home in Christ. And then they also said, they ended with this one, here is where we are fully engaged. Fully engaged. We're not just there in a physical presence. And I loved everything that they were sharing. And I love the Bible studies that I'm able to lead. What a blessing that is and an honor for me. But I'm going to also add to what they shared, that a true home in Christ is an invitational space. It is a place for reconciliation, reparation, and redemption. It is where compassion, grace, and mercy are, they abound, and when and where divine transformation occurs. It's where peace reigns, and how does it reign? Because it is rooted in justice. That is the true home in Christ, where we never stop praying, and we always praise the divine creator, and it is where our Savior has drawn near. And I'd be remiss if I weren't to add a line from The Wiz, that great musical, when Dorothy says, it's a place where love is overflowing. And there's so much more that can be able to describe what it means to have a true home in Christ. Okay, friends, I'm going to conclude my message this morning with these words. The season of Advent is indeed a season in which it offers us expectation and hope for something new. So what do we do with that? All right, well, I'm going to highlight three things that we can do and I urge us to do. Three things. One, let's prepare our hearts to live forever at home with the Lord. So prepare. The second one is let's keep alert to be aware of God's grace that is in our lives and to be constantly preparing for the Holy One's radical, liberating kingdom to break forth here on earth as it is in heaven. So prepare, keep alert, and the third thing is let's continue to put our hope in our amazing and benevolent God who comes to us as the Prince of Peace, the little baby, and the risen Lord. For He is our true home, this day, now, and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Please stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor as you feel comfortable. You can wave. You can shake hands. You can hug if you like, however you feel. And you can join us for this last song. Even in
Go in peace.